In the light of the fact that we preached a message this morning on the subject of the earthquake disaster that has impacted upon Haiti, I, in further reading this afternoon, came across an article, and I think it would deserve to be quoted at this particular time. It is not dated 2010, but rather goes away back to 1861. And I think it's a pretty cautionary word. Now, we pointed out today that an article that appeared in Newsweek this past week by Lisa Miller that was exploring and initiating some kind of a debate on the frustrating theology of suffering travelled under the title Why God Hates Haiti. And she challenged, now with as many as 100,000 dead in last week's earthquake, a sensible person of faith has to grapple with the problem. The problem is this: if God is good and intervenes in the world, then why does he make innocents suffer? What, from a church point of view, was the answer to her challenge? Does this earthquake that claimed so many lives and devastated so much property in Haiti last week, does it show that God hates Haiti, as that article suggests, and as some misinformed preachers have implied as well? And so we took the subject this morning, does God hate Haiti? And the answer was a resounding no. But this afternoon, I read a sermon by C.H. Spurgeon, preached back in the year 1861. It was preached after a train that carried people to a Sunday race meeting crashed, and many were killed. And preachers rushed to attribute the cause of those people dying, well, that's what happened to them, because of Sabbath desecration. Spurgeon disassociated himself from those that said that, and he preached a powerful message describing with real passion the mangled bodies of children. He asked the logical question: if that crash was God's judgment for those people's terrible personal sins, then what about the train crash on a Monday, taking Sunday school children on their outing? And you may know that that happened years ago in Armagh. Sunday school children, many wiped out in a train crash. Was that God's judgment? We can't say the shoe fits on one occasion, doesn't fit on the other, just because we judge it not to fit. Evidently, Spurgeon took the view that it is wrong to pontificate on these events, because to do so makes God's providence easy to understand. His thoughts and his ways, though, were far above ours. It's ignorant, it's arrogant as well, to be dogmatic about God's mysterious workings. And if we understood everything that happened in the world, then we could never sing that hymn, God moves in a mysterious way. Because it wouldn't be a mystery. We would know every time why it happened. Spurgeon said, and I guess we should keep in mind this backdrop, if only bad people suffered and good people didn't, there wouldn't be any mystery. But that's not how it is. Spurgeon said, as I look for a moment on the poor mangled bodies of those who had been so suddenly slain, my eyes find tears, but my heart does not boast. Far from me be a boastful cry, God, I thank thee that I am not as these men are. No. No. No, it is not the spirit of Christ, nor the spirit of Christianity. While we can thank God that we are preserved, yet we can say it is of God's mercy that we are not consumed. That's the only issue. You don't live because you deserve to live. You live because though you deserve to die, God is merciful. Sometimes people read the Old Testament and say, what kind of a God is this? What kind of a God kills whole cities of people with plagues? That's really not the question. The question is, what kind of a God lets anybody live? We know God is holy and righteous, and we know the wages of sin is death, and we deserve to die. The soul that sins, it shall die. The fact that we take another breath is because God is merciful. It's the patience and forbearance of God leading us to repentance. You see, history works this way. We all deserve to die. But instead, God lets us live and really live. We live, we love, we laugh, we enjoy all the blessings of life in all its richness. What's that about? It's showing you the patience and forbearance of God, the kindness of God, the compassion of God, with the intent of leading you to repentance. It's time to repent. It's giving you opportunity. That application Spurgeon made was one that he took straight out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw his declaration this morning in Luke 13, 3 and 5, and his verdict and commentary on why people were slain and a tower fell and killed a number of others. Jesus said, is it because they were the worst sinners in those localities at that particular time? No. I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.